we have a smile on the face of Muslims who aren't Salafi and have love for them. The people who are not Salafi in this issue, we have to bring to the forefront one of the principles of the Dawah to Salafi and Mubaraka, and that is a very important principle that we find in the Quran, and that's the principle of Al-Wala wal-Bara, loving and hating for Allah's sake and Allah's sake alone. In this principle, we understand that we're going to love people according to how close they are to the truth, and we're going to hate them according to how far they are away from the truth. So this is Al-Islam. The person who is close to Al-Islam, like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is going to have a lot of love for them. The more the person is far away from Islam is going to determine how much love we have. So we're going to love the righteous Salafi person, and Allah knows best who's righteous. We're going to love him more than the person who's on some deviance, like the Mu'tazila or the Sufi or something like that. But then that Sufi is not going to be so bad when you compare him to the Shiite. So we have to understand, Ikhwan, that the Prophet ﷺ himself, he used to make the al-bara'a, or he used to make the clear himself sometimes, even from his companions, when they made mistakes, as Ka'b ibn Malik. The Prophet ﷺ freed himself from the three people who stayed behind in the battle of Tabuk. When Khalid ibn Walid Abu Sulaiman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent on an expedition, and he killed some women and he killed some old people who had nothing to do with the problem, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he saw that, and he freed himself from that action, and he said, "Oh Allah, I am free of what Khalid did. I'm free of this action." And Khalid and Ka'b ibn Malik are from the people who we name ourselves after, as the questioner put forth. So it's going to depend upon the person's holding on to Al-Islam, how well or how well he doesn't hold on to it. That's going to determine.
Just one small announcement. The person with a Nissan Bluebird, a registration E816MDF. Nissan Bluebird, E816MDF. Please could you remove it from the zigzag outside of the mosque before it is clamped. And those who are parked with their wheels on the pavement, apparently you're not supposed to do so. So please could you alter that situation as well. Nissan Bluebird, E816MDF.
There's another narration or variation to the narration that you gave that states, if Allah loves someone, he calls to Jibreel, and then Jibreel calls to the ones in the heavens, and then Allah sends down the Qabool in the earth for that person. Can you please explain? Does it mean that everyone will be accepted? That everyone would accept that person? In that hadith, as the person said, the Qabool means acceptance. But we can't understand that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, that automatically everyone in the dunya and on the earth is going to love that person, because the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam that yawm al-qiyamah a prophet will come, and he will come with what he described as a rahq or a ruhayb. He will have 3 to 9 people who believed and followed him, and then yet another prophet will come and he will have 2 people who believed and followed him, and another prophet will come and nobody will be with him. He won't have anyone who believed in him. So we understand that Allah loves the muttaqeen. And the a'immah of the muttaqeen, the imams of the muttaqeen, are the anbiya and the rasul. So Allah loves those messengers who came and those prophets who came. But their people rejected them. Musa's people rejected him. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the prophets, their people rejected them. So the Qabool here does not mean that everyone is going to love that person, Muslim and non-Muslim. It doesn't mean that. As it relates to our ummah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person, inshallah, he will put the Qabool and the Muhabba in the hearts of the people for him, the people from the saved group, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. How should we react to Muslims who do not make an effort to practice Islam? Should we have them, should we hate them or just hate their actions although they are Muslims? We should hate the action of the person, people who don't practice Islam. We should do our duty to the person as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us, ansar akhaka zaliman aw mazluman, help your brother, whether he is being, he's oppressed or he is the oppressor. They said, okay, we know how to help him if he is oppressed, but how are we going to help him if he is the oppressor? He says, stop him from oppressing. So this person who's not practicing Islam is oppressing himself. So we hate that action. At the same time, we give him his rights by encouraging him and ordering him to leave alone that which is not permissible. All the while, ikhwan, staying away from what many people do, and that is approaching people with the mentality that I'm holier than thou, I'm better than you. We should be happy and fortunate, wallahi, that Allah has guided us to al-Islam. And inside of that, not only has He guided us to the biggest circle of al-Islam, but He guided us to the smaller circle of the Dawat al-Haq. We should be happy about that and thankful to Allah, because He could have left us out there like He left that other person out there. So we should have something in our hearts of mercy towards the people. So we stay away from the holier-than-thou attitude, like the man from Bani Israel who used to make a lot of ibadah, and his brother was a person who wasn't taking care of the business. And every time his religious brother would see him, he would tell him, "Taqillah, you are this, you're that." And then he went so far, his own ibadah, he became maghroor with himself. He went so far and he said to his brother, "Wallahi, lan yaghfirullahu laka. Allah is not going to forgive you, wallahi." He said that. Can you imagine someone saying something like that? Allah's rahmah wasi'at kulla shay. Allah's mercy has encompassed everything. He wrote on himself that his rahmah will supersede his anger. And now you, Bani Adam, you're saying, wallahi, Allah won't forgive so-and-so. So Allah Ta'ala asks, who is it that has the nerve? Who is it that has the nerve to say, I won't forgive so-and-so? Therefore, I have forgiven him all of what he did, and I've caused your deed to be rendered null and void. So we run the risk of being of those people. And wallahi, we see too many people with this attitude today. And this is a sickness of the heart. Walking around, I'm holier than thou. I'm from the awliya of Jibreel. You're from the awliya of Shaytan. I'm in Jannah. You're in the Nar. Yes, in saying that, we also have to try and believe that we are upon the haq, no doubt. And we can't be of the people who are compromising based upon those proofs. But we shouldn't go around people acting as if all of the people are astray and only we are the ones who are on the truth. And this was one of the problems of those people of the Khawarij. They saw themselves better than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that ultimately and eventually led to their destruction. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we know somebody from our family does not pray at all, or they miss the Friday Jummah, do we give them salam? Concerning the salam and not giving to the salam, or making the hajra, or not making the hajra, leaving people, there are some shurut and some qawaid, some principles that have to be followed. If you're leaving that person and you're not giving him salam, is going to bring him to the haq, then you do that. Allah told us concerning our wives to first give the woman the mu'idah and then separate yourself from the bed. If you stop talking to your brother, if you stop talking to someone who's close to you and you know that it's going to affect that person, you have been blessed with the type of woman who the Prophet told us about sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you do wrong, you did her wrong, she comes to you at night, she puts her hand in your hand, and she says, I can't go to sleep until you're happy with me. If you have a woman like that, then don't talk to her. Don't give her salam. Because it's going to work in her case. But if you have a person that you know, if you don't give him salam, he's going to hate you more and hate people who are similar to you. No, then this isn't the proper methodology in trying to solve that problem. It's not good now to separate yourselves from that person. And then on top of that, ikhwan, the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى مُسْلِمْ سِكْتٌ إِذَا لَقِيَهُ سَلَّمْ عَلَيْهِ. The rights of a Muslim on another Muslim are six. If he meets him, he gives him salam. And he didn't make the istifna here, but we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, sometimes like Ka'b ibn Malik, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, I used to give him salam, and I don't know if he gave him back to me or not. I don't know if he relayed him back to me or he didn't relay him back to me. So if the salams are not giving the salams, going to bring them to the truth, then you may use that. But if not, then we say we must be careful.
One last question, I believe.
This one?
Yep.
How do you defend the honor of a Muslim who is being slandered or rumored? Again, brothers and sisters in Islam, as it relates to the I'm holier than thou syndrome, I believe, no doubt, that the dawah that Allah has blessed us with is the dawah of the truth. Like it, whoever likes it, hate it, whoever hates it. We have proof to support that. But we shouldn't think that the people who are upon this dawah today, that we are like the companions, any stretch of the imagination. The one who wants to defend his brother during this day and time, he has to be the one who's going to take the stance that's not popular. He has to be one who's not afraid of the people. He wants to use hikmah so that he doesn't make the ifsad, so that he doesn't make more fitna. He wants to use hikmah, but he has to have a lot of heart, a lot of courage. He can't be afraid of the censorship of the people. He can't be afraid that people are going to label him. Can't be afraid. He has to be a man. Not mutakabbir, but a man who has his back up and he'll come to you in your face and say, that's oppression. So now with a lot of qila wa qal going around between the people about other people, I give you my sincere advice. The majority of you, you should run away from that nonsense the way you run away from a hungry lion. Because it's not going to benefit you, it's going to drag you into the disease of hating the Muslims and never being able to get to the bottom of where the truth is. Because I accept this scholar and I reject that scholar, and that's how the people play the game. The scholar who you claim to love and respect, you'll turn around rejecting his statement and you'll take the one, and it's another endless cycle of confusion. So the person who wants to defend his brother, he has to be the person who is not going to take the position where he's afraid to step out and to take the unpopular position by warning the people of what they're doing with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This we want to present to you, brothers, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us and you guys. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك واشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.
وجزاكم الله خيرا.
وحبت الله ورحمة الله.